He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Blair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Yeah, it's time to talk a little college athletics with one Blair Kirchhoff. Actually, a lot going on the college scene. Blair Kirchhoff, always brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They're at I-35 in Santa Fe. You can check them out right now online at robertbrogdon.com. The best selection of vehicles is right there at Brogdon. And at Brogdon, have they become the number one Buick dealer in the country, the number one GM dealer by volume here in the metro, by giving people great deals and understanding that their time is valuable. Brogdon understands you don't want to be sitting around hour after hour after hour. It's a car deal. Yes, it's a big purchase, but it's not buying the earth. They understand that, and they get you going as quickly and efficiently as possible. Find out for yourself why Robert Brogdon is number one. Go to I-35 in Santa Fe. Find him online at robertbrogdon.com. Mr. Kirchhoff, sir, welcome. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, no complaints. Let's start with Les Miles.
Les Miles.
Details coming out that he is or was party to a settlement on a sexual harassment during his days at LSU. Very quickly after that story comes out, I think pretty quickly, KU puts out a statement. Basically that they know nothing about it. They knew nothing about this beforehand, and it's the first they're hearing of it. What do you make of it, Blair?
It sounds like the local university did not do its due diligence, did not do the proper vetting, perhaps, did not dig deep enough into the past of one Les Miles. That's the thing that struck me when I was reading the story yesterday, that I saw the quote from Beckler at KU, and I thought, how did you not know this? I mean, don't your attorneys talk to their attorneys? Don't your attorneys talk to Les Miles' agent, who obviously would have knowledge of this? So that was my first reaction, and then, you know, I had to go back and remind myself what the sort of the sordid details of what went on at LSU, you know, from the national championship team and then the previous years, because quite frankly I'd forgotten about it. It looked like LSU, based on the reporting in USA Today, at least to this point, didn't pay much of a penalty, if anything, for allegations anyway of some of the players. So that's it's just a disappointment and more bad news for Kansas football, when it just seems like any news that comes out of Lawrence for the football program is bad news.
Yes, and I made the statement with Gary Parrish, that the Chris Mack video, did you see that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, where he's on there with a former Louisville football player that I guess was his neighbor, when you hear his explanation of what happened and his apology of what happened. He's clearly had a few drinks, the way he's hopping around kind of acting like a goof. And I actually buy 100% his story.
I do too.
Ribbing amongst friends and so I don't have any real problem with it. It's not a good look for the coach.
It's not. Didn't know somebody was rolling with a cell phone camera, I'm sure. And
No, he knew, because he was hopping around in the video, and but I think he mistakenly, either through alcohol consumption or just naive, thought that, well, this will just be shared amongst us. There's no way this will get out.
Right, right. I guess that's what I meant to say. It wouldn't go public.
What I said to Gary was, I said, this is the kind of thing, if you're coming off two losing seasons, that can be the final straw. this gives somebody the ammunition to at least say, okay, we're firing you with cause because you embarrassed the university.
Yeah.
And it may not get you, you know, out of paying all of a buyout, but it at least gets them to the negotiating table where it's like, okay, you clearly damaged the university. We can all go through a trial, or we can hammer out a lesser number than what's in your contract. All right, so that's what I thought of the Chris Mack thing. I think the same thing of the Les Miles situation right now. You know, there is a clause in his contract, and I printed his contract up. Where is it? Let me read it here. Oh, of course, let me find it first. You know, when you print a lot of papers, Blair. Here we go. At the very end, it says, it's third-party agreements. Let's see. Commission or of or participation in by head coach of any act, situation, or occurrence, or any conduct which in athletics of KU's judgment brings head coach and or KU into public disrepute, embarrassment, contempt, or ridicule, or any public or private comments that disparage KU or athletics, its personnel, programs, policies, and or departments, or that cause damage to KU's reputation. That's a broad
brush.
And
I wonder how common that language is. It's probably pretty common, I suspect, in coaches' contracts. And I wonder what those who wrote it had in mind for the type of incidents that would rise to the level of a firing offense. And if this one would, after Kansas does more of its own,
How about this?
Go ahead.
Discreditable conduct that is inconsistent with the professional standards expected of a head coach of a collegiate sports team, or that is seriously prejudicial to the best interests of KU or athletics, or be abusive or demeaning in language or conduct to any student, including student athletes or employees, including employees of KU or athletics. Now, this is all about KU, and this would have happened at LSU, which is a big
distinction.
I think this is, like I said, I would say that this is something that if there was a want to move on from Les Miles, would force Les Miles to the bargaining table to discuss what the buyout, you know, is going to be.
Yeah, I think you can make that case, but I don't think that is what Jeff Long is thinking right now. We know that the story behind, you know, his luring Les Miles to Kansas. I mean, it was the subject of a mini series on ESPN. So we know how much Jeff Long wanted Les Miles to come to KU. But it is going to be in the news for the next few weeks, right? There's a March 30th unsealing of documents, I believe, or some decision is happening on March 30th. It's going to continue to be in the news, and it's a bad look. It's absolutely a bad look for KU.
So you don't think Jeff Long is of that mindset right now?
I don't think so. Let's compare it to using you're right about athletic directors who might look for a wedge to get a coach removed. All Mark Mangino had to do was finish last in the division, and of course the word came out that he was being a little bit abusive to his players, and that was enough for Lou Perkins to fire the most successful coach that Kansas has had in quite a while, and of course that move put into motion the tailspin that they continue on to this day. They could have kept Mark Mangino easily, could have kept him, and then athletic director Lou Perkins decided not to, wanted him out, used the information and the last place finish to get him out of there.
By the way, I just noticed something, that there is a typo or there's a mistake in this contract.
How so?
Retention bonus. $225,000 payable only in year three. 3 years at $225,000 equals $775,000. And only in year five, parentheses, 2 years at $225,000 equals $500,000. it's either 2 years at $250,000 equals $500,000,
right,
or it's 2 years at $225,000 equals $450,000.
$450,000, right. There's some I'm sure.
The retention bonuses are earned at the start of year three on November 16th, 2020, so he's already gotten that check. And the start of year five on November 16th, 2022.
What's 50K among friends?
That's interesting that was...
right. Little 50K, you know, mistake on the contract language.
You messed that up. I mean, I'm looking, you know, signed. There's blue signatures, so...
Yeah.
Nobody, Jeff Long, Les Miles, and Doug Girard did not pick up on that little nugget.
Nobody fine-tooth combed it.
I mean, I don't think I'm missed. There's no way I'm... That's just a mistake there. Anyway, I'm of the opinion that right now Les Miles will be coaching this team.
I agree.
Come this fall.
Yeah, I thought so too. After reading all that, I came to the same conclusion that this isn't going to, unless something more is revealed that's even more troubling.
That's what I think is interesting. They're not making any, there's no statement today, there's no press conference today. So what does that tell you?
Well, how about Gannett and USA Today had to sue the university to get information on this because LSU was hiding everything and was not going to.
Which is always a good idea when you know the law is involved and sexual misconduct, you know,
right?
Just you know, hunker down and right. Don't cooperate. Yeah, that always works out well.
That's right. Batten down the hatches for this. And fortunately, you know, two women who were the subject of abuse, alleged abuse, came forward. And of course, this had nothing to do with Miles. This was post Les Miles, the Ed Ogeron tenure. But two women came forward and used their names and told their stories. And it's ugly stuff. And look, it's too much with us in college sports. It doesn't go away if it's not LSU, it was Baylor. If it's not Baylor, it was, you know, Penn State, and you know, it didn't end well for coaches in those schools. And we'll see what happens with the LSU case.
Yeah, what I think it means that they're not out having a press conference today. Like they've had time to figure out what they want, to talk to Les, to talk to his attorney, to say, all right, what is the deal with this? I do want to point one thing out. I said this earlier today, but I think it's important. You know, when you have a settlement like that, usually it comes with a confidentiality agreement.
Right.
And you always think of it in terms of the person who's getting paid, not saying what they got paid. But it's a confidentiality agreement that works both ways. Right? Meaning Les Miles doesn't get to go flap his gum. So when everyone's like to your point where you said – you know, they didn't do their due diligence. I mean, I think it's the kind of thing.
I see what you're saying. Right, right.
I think certainly, like, hey, what happened at LSU?
The
like, you know, finding out what was his tenure like. There were. If you really dug in, I agree with you with your point about, you know, if you dug in and started asking around and really wanted to find out and asked around Baton Rouge. Hey, what went on during Les's tenure here? You'd have heard, well, I heard there was some,
yeah.
You know, you may not have heard about Les, but you would have heard that, well, there was problems with the players. I mean, nothing's ever come of it, but there were accusations and this one girl and this happened. You know, you would have found that. As far as Les being the one to disclose it, I don't know what your obligation is, but I'm thinking if you sign a confidentiality agreement as part of that, then you're kind of in a tricky spot. Yes, you're supposed to tell your employer if you've had any problems, but if you've signed a confidentiality agreement, are you legally bound to not tell them about that?
I don't know about that, but I would think as just a matter of good faith, I would tell my future employer, that there is a skeleton in the closet, and here's
agreed.
You know, agreed. And I think you need to come clean on everything, and absolutely. People in Baton Rouge and Les knew about what happened in, I think it was 2013. Was it 2013 the year?
Yeah,
So I know that if I'm, you know, if I'm a Kansas administrator, if I'm, you know, if I'm Jeff Long, or I'm disappointed in all, obviously disappointed in this, that it happened, that you had to deal with it, that, yeah, but maybe by the letter of the law, you know, you didn't make a mistake in your hiring of Les Miles based on the knowledge you had, but should you not have done everything you possibly can to background right. And research it?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, they clearly missed it. They may have dug and dug and dug and dug, but they didn't dig in the right places. Or, hey, don't worry about it, guys. I got this. I know Les. We go way back. We're good.
Yeah, you know, yeah. They didn't even bother. Have been that. Look, nobody knew about it until just this week, right? I mean, yeah. That's
– Yeah, and it is entirely possible that there just was no one to ask. I mean, I do want to put that out there. But no matter what, it's not a good look.
It's not. Right?
You know, even if there's a perfectly good explanation, it's not a good look for Kansas Athletics. It's not a good look for Jeff Long. Right, it's one thing to be defending a coach, and you know, as he did on a radio broadcast, where he said, "Look, we're in it for the long haul. We knew it was not going to be easy. We knew it was going to take time. I'm still, 100% committed to Les Miles." You make that statement, and then you get hit with this. You look bad.
Yeah.
And can we agree that Jeff Long has to be pissed?
Yes, I would think that. You know, I would think that. This had to have blindsided him a little bit. I would think. You raised the possibility that maybe, you know, Jeff knew, and it was like, we did investigate it. We didn't think it was, he didn't get in trouble for it at LSU. We thought everything was okay. I don't know. You wonder if Kansas knew now, when they were doing the hiring, knew then what they know now, would they have pursued Les Miles? Would any school have gone after Les?
I think the only school that was going to hire Les Miles was the one that Jeff Long was working
was hired him.
Yeah, and they may have, they may not have, but here they sit. And I'll say this: I think the fact that there isn't a press conference to address it today means that they are wondering what could come next.
Could be, because
the investigation, the stories that are being written in New Orleans are ongoing, right? It's an ongoing.
That's right. But there hasn't been a press conference anywhere. There hasn't been a press. There have been statements made by, Kansas made a statement, and LSU has too. There hadn't been nobody sitting at a conference table in front of cameras talking about this.
No, and I think it's because they're continuing to dig. But you would think. Right, that this should be the only involvement with Kansas.
You would think, right? Yeah. No reason to believe otherwise. But
right, like they don't have. Hey, Les covered up the Darius Geis thing, and Les did this or that.
That's
to this
right.
point, the only thing that Les Miles is mentioned in is kind of like an oh by the way, and it's not an oh by the way because it speaks to if the head coach. Had behavior, if the what's alleged against him, what's alleged that he's alleged to have settled had a settlement over, then it kind of speaks to, okay, that behavior started with the head guy and permeated throughout the program. Like, so there's certainly that link to him. But as far as the stories that are being written down in Louisiana, it's kind of like while we were looking for stuff on LSU, we also found that Les Miles settled this. Right, that's how I read his part of the story.
I think that's right. I think that's the right interpretation.
Yeah, we while we were reviewing the
it goes
pass
all the
interference call, we realized the receiver stepped out of bounds.
Yes.
Right? But I think that Kansas, because I think your natural instinct is to want to get out in front of this and say, all right, listen, beyond just the statement, we interviewed, we didn't know, I've talked to Les, he's told me exactly what happened. I know the detail, whatever. I think that's the natural instinct. But I think the smart thing, and I think this is why KU is doing it, is if you get out there and say, look, there was nothing to this. Les Miles made a settlement because it was best for everybody involved, but there's absolutely no guilt. He maintains his innocence, blah, 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 blah. And then a story comes out on Tuesday, Les Miles did this.
Yeah, that's really
now
bad.
You really look bad.
Yeah, well, and then you apply the language in the contract. at that point, or you're closer to applying the language in the contract or acting on applying the language in the contract.
If he is, and we both at this point agree he's going to be coaching when the football season starts,
yep.
If he is coaching, this is his last mulligan.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not talking about a series of off-field incidents, right? There was the Puka Williams, incident. But there hasn't been a large collection of these things. There's just been terrible performance on the field.
Well, there's been – yeah, but that, my point is it's all of it, right? He's now had two losing years. But I'd say mulligan, one of the mulligans would be like going 1-11 again. That will end it. Another off the field issue. More on this. Any other big negative, which I consider this to be a big negative, and I consider the first 2 years' records to be big negatives. Expected big negatives, but big negatives. He hasn't exceeded anyone's expectation.
No.
If anything, probably they thought year two would be better than it was. He might have even come a little bit short. I'm just saying this right here means that he's got to win games, or I think a move will be made at the end of the season.
Well, if he's going 1-11 or even 2-10, assuming it's a normal college football season, then after your third year, I don't know how any coach would survive that, given what's happened. Is it 3 wins total? Three the first year, and they went winless this past year. So
right,
that just falls in line with all the preceding coaches. And why should Les Miles be given any more consideration or confidence that he's going to get it turned around if you're having a terrible record in the third year? I think he'd go either way. Not either way. I think he'd be fired after a really disappointing third year.
Yeah, and the other part to Kansas football is that they lost another coach.
Yeah, yeah.
The linebacker coach.
Yeah, there's a trend at KU. Yeah, I'm trying to think. They brought in Michigan's bless his friend from Michigan to run the offense to replace Brent Dierman. And they brought in another coach who from Bowling Green, I think.
I think he's part of the linebacker shuffling, isn't he?
I think that's right. I don't have it in front of me. I don't have my phone's not working here to call it up, but I think that's right. But there has been a lot of staff, changeover here. Maybe more than you would expect. And as we've talked about, going to lower profile schools.
Yeah, and that's what's scary. One went to
Middle Tennessee, Dierman, and then I think SMU was the other one, right?
Right. Kansas football has lost its second assistant. This is Jesse Newell's story from back on the 22nd of February.
So Monday.
3 days ago.
Yeah.
Kansas football has lost its second assistant coach in the last month to a similar position at a non-Power 5 school. Jadero Uzodiribi, who was KU's outside linebacker coach in 2020, will become the defensive line coach at SMU. ESPN, a football scoop reporter, the Jayhawks announced his replacement Monday, hiring Jake Schoonover as outside linebackers coach and special teams coordinator.
I think he was from Bowling Green.
So he was, yeah. And so you go from being, a linebacker coach, an outside linebacker coach at Kansas, to be in D-line at SMU. Is that a step up? I don't think it is.
I don't know either. I do know, and I have learned since we've talked about this, that Dierman had some there were some personal reasons for him to be back. He's from that area, from Tennessee originally, and there were some family reasons for him to be there now. But I think if things were going great at Kansas, it might not have happened. And, look, when there are coaching moves like this that seem lateral or, a step down in profile, we don't know what the salaries are and maybe some other extenuating circumstances, but we do know the schools, and we know you're going from a Power 5 to, a group of 5 school with both of these coaches, and that is not a great look.
Yeah, I think the thing you were talking to, Jason Anderson just sent me the part, and we'll wrap up the Les Miles discussion with this. Taylor Porter continues to represent LSU in a wide range of legal matters, including another recent public records lawsuit involving police reports naming former LSU football star Darius Geis. Let's see. LSU's attorneys refused to release the Taylor Porter report, saying that doing so would deprive Miles of his constitutional right to privacy. They cited the Louisiana Constitution rather than the state's public records law shortly after USA Today filed suit against the university. Attorneys for Miles joined the case. It's unclear how prominently the Miles allegations may figure into the Hush Blackwell report, but the settlement may have led to a larger review at the time of how Miles treated female students at the university. 8 years ago, Miles, now head coach at the University of Kansas, was the subject of another investigation by a Baton Rouge law firm, court records show. Miles has intervened in a case in Baton Rouge District Court in an effort to prevent LSU from releasing the law firm's investigation into him.
First of all, thank you, Jason Anderson, for that was nice of you to provide. I wonder what
Miles' attorneys argued the records are, quote, of a highly personal nature and said their release would harm Miles' reputation. Miles' attorneys petitioned the court to issue a temporary restraining order forbidding LSU from releasing the investigation ahead of a February 9th hearing.
Interesting. Right to privacy. Boy, I wonder, you know, the mind wanders here, and you don't want to speculate and you know, openly.
Well, I don't think it's speculation. They've said what's in that report would harm his reputation.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't want to throw darts. And
yeah, we don't know what it is, but we know it's not good.
Yeah, no, it's obviously not good. And yeah, I've never heard of a coach being, you know, citing a right to privacy on something like, you know, this. So, you know, the plot thickens.
So do we still think he's coaching when the season starts?
I guess. yes, I'd still say yes. I'm going to say he's still coaching.
I would say the longer Kansas goes without having a press conference, the worse it looks.
Well, that's always the case.
Not that they're doing something wrong, just that it means that they're digging in and still looking.
They're, you know, got their gumshoes on it now, right? And doing their own investigating on this. So maybe you're right about that. But if you're asking me if I think he'll coach, I think the answer is yes.
Okay. We'll take a break. Blair Kirkhoff is with us from the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They're at I-35 in Santa Fe. They're online at robertbrogdon.com.
The Program with Soren Petro.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer.
I can't believe you would show your face after the question you asked.
It's a good question. This wasn't the question I intended to ask. I have the answer to both, though. The one that I wanted to ask and the one that I did ask.
Well, how did this drama unfold?
Have
you met Curtis?
Yes. Did I just walk in here for the first time? The question I wanted to ask was, who was the youngest player to have a 40-double 20 stolen base season, because he was born in the state. What I said was, who was going to have a 40 homer 20 stolen base season, and it's not the same guy.
And he wasn't born on this date.
He was not born in the state.
So who was the first?
Totally relevant.
Was the first, like, maybe I'm thinking Willie Mays?
Nope.
40 double 20 stolen base season?
He was 20 years old in 1971. When he had 40 doubles in exactly.
Well, I'm sorry, I was thinking of the home run one.
How about Cesar Cedeno?
Cesar Cedeno.
Ooh, good job, Blair.
Who was 70.
But that's not
70.
What actually would get the prize, no. Because that's not what you asked.
Correct.
So what you asked, the answer would be who?
Ronald Acuna.
The youngest, huh?
Ronald.
How old was he?
He was 21, and was that just... 2 years ago?
Last
yes.
Year. 2 years ago, yeah. 2 years ago.
Barry Bonds, when he had his 50-30 season with the Pirates.
Yeah.
But he had to be older than 21.
Acuna was 41 and 37 in 2019 at the age of 21.
Wow. Good times. Good times. well done, Curtis. Well played.
I'll try to have an accurate question at the top of the hour. We'll see if that happens.
Don't do it. Plays better this way.
Listen for a great chance to win. At that point, it'll be good sense, or just for the comedy of whatever boobery comes out of Curtis.
It'll be the youngest player to have a 20 homer, 20 interception season.
Yes, we'll be looking forward to that one. That'll be great. We were playing for Joe's Kansas City Barbecue right there. Curtis probably deprived some poor somebody of Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Go to joeskc.com, send it anywhere in the country, put in your order, pick some up for yourself, and then send some to somebody else. Don't be a selfish pig, right? Share the gift of Joe's Kansas City Barbecue with friends, family, relatives, coworkers, maybe even clients all over the country. Joe's will send it there. It's phenomenal. Go to joeskc.com. Blair Kirkhoff is here. I brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Blair, they put out like what they're going to do for COVID issues during the tournament. Is it going to work?
Yeah. You're talking about the Big 12 and the NCAA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they put something. Did you see the news today about the field, the alternate teams?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So essentially, it's going to be a 72 team field, but the final four, the last four, are on standby in case a team, one of the 68, can't make it. So, look, they have to have contingency plans, and we got one of those today, and it's already going to be the most unique NCAA tournament ever, with the whole thing being played in one region, and it's just going to be so strange. I'm glad the NCAA is trying to have a men's and women's basketball tournaments, but it is going to be odd.
The statement that is this an unfair competitive advantage for those teams? They're like, no, they would have been first four types. Who cares? Like,
right.
Who's complaining? We won an NCAA tournament. We didn't have
right.
One. You know, you got to step in and play. Like, well, yeah. Is it if all of a sudden last minute you got a team that's got to step in and play? That's going to suck. But it beats not having a tournament, right? This is the
right.
way to do it, or just having a bye, just giving anyone a bye.
And you can't
it
do
does
that.
It does create kind of an uncouth situation where four teams will be sitting and rooting for people to get sick.
That's right. And they'll end up being the top four seeds in the NIT if by the time, you know, the 68 team tournament starts and they haven't, you know, they're still sitting on the bench, they'll be placed into the NIT, which we know starts later than the NCAA tournament. You know, one thing, and if you've got it in front of you, maybe you can remind me. I went through it quickly, but I was distracted doing other things. If a team has to pull out after the tournament starts, you know, there is a contingency plan for that, and I forgot what that was.
Any team that would have to be removed after early Tuesday evening would be out of the bracket, and the other team in that matchup would move on in a no contest.
Okay. All right. So there would be
this process would continue throughout the first few rounds of the tournament. The NCAA will not force a team to win a game against another school if its scheduled opponent is unable to play.
Gotcha. Okay. That's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. The NCAA did not explicitly state whether or not this same protocol would apply to the Final Four and National Championship game.
Okay. Well,
there's a big list of contingencies that they've got on a document that has very small print.
right. Wow. You know, and of course, for our interest, two of our three teams are going to be in the field.
Are you convinced that Missouri's going to be
in? Yeah, they'll be in. There's only two games. They only have three games left on their schedule. At Florida next Wednesday. Now they're playing LSU the following Saturday, and then at least one game in the SEC tournament. And so I don't think they can net themselves out of the tournament, but I sure hate what I'm seeing in the last couple of weeks from them. And it's hard to explain, really. You know, a couple of games without Tillman, you understand that. You just lose your little bit of your rhythm and balance. You get Tillman back, and you look good in the first game he's back at South Carolina. And then, for whatever reason, they just absolutely cannot match up with Ole Miss.
They don't seem to be able to handle a zone at all.
Not a zone, in a zone that traps. You know, they trap the ball, and it just forces poor passing. So they never seem to get into their offense against a trapping zone. And I don't know, I counted like four or five times against Ole Miss where Tillman would get the ball down low, the double team would come, and his pass would go back outside. He didn't throw away the pass, but he threw it in such a way that Drew Smith or Mark Smith or X had to, you know, run in a different direction to get it. And again, your offense is all thrown off because of it. So it's a problem for Missouri. And if you're scouting Missouri, you're absolutely considering, you know, at least – when things are, you know, when the opportunity arises, switch into a zone defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a real blueprint's been given to them. How about the fact that there are some rumblings that Konzo Martin was coming up in line for a contract extension?
Yeah, well, I was at Columbia on for the game, and before the game, Jim Sturrock had a little press conference. Not a little. He had a press conference and met with reporters and
cute know, little press conference.
Yes, right, just a darling little press conference. And he was asked right at the end of it, you know, Konzo Martin's in the fourth of a seventh year deal, and so that led to this is the time that you would begin to have discussions about what. What a coach wants in his program. And anyway, it led me to think that's what he was talking about, a contract extension. So, listen, if you're Konzo Martin and you go to the NCAA tournament this year, I think you ask for one. You talk about it. Now, Missouri doesn't have to do anything, but I think you always play that card when you're coming off a good season. And But it was an unusual original contract to go 7 years. That's how much digging out I think that Missouri felt was needed when they hired him.
Well, and how great they thought it was going to be right out of the gates. That
it was going to be
coming in.
Yeah,
and
this, supposed to be great out of the gates.
They were going to be a top 10 team, and instead, all the injuries happened, and they didn't reap the rewards that they were going to get early. To his credit, I'm with you. I think he is going to make the NCAA tournament. Although his KenPom is awful.
It is awful.
Like, the computers hate Missouri.
I know. Right? And I need a good computer nerd to help me understand what it is they hate about Missouri, because the results favor Missouri, right? The number of quad one wins and the overall strength of schedule, that sort of thing. RPI likes Missouri, the old system, but you're right. Yeah. KenPom doesn't like them, and the analytics don't favor Missouri at all.
I think it's because when they're bad, they're really bad, and they wreck any of the, right. Like whatever they build up, they tear it down with their horrible losses.
With a 21-point loss at Ole Miss, right?
Yeah. I mean, like most teams are like, oh, they're just kind of so-so, and every now and then they play good, and every now and then they play bad, so they have a so-so KenPom. These guys play really good sometimes, and then they play god-awful.
Right.
And, their tempo isn't good, and they're, it's just all these different things that end up working against them. I think there is a little bit of, they're just kind of the fly in the ointment, or maybe the, the anomaly to what bogs down the computers. I mean, I think there's something to be said that they're better than their computer numbers. I'm fine with that assessment. But, Konzo Martin, when he makes the NCAA tournament, is then going to have his deal guaranteed through April 30th of 21. So they couldn't fire him until May 1st of 21. And if they did, it's $6 million. And it will be $6 million until May 1st of 22.
Okay.
Which basically, then you can't fire him, so he automatically gets next season. If you wanted to fire him, you got to get $6 million to fire him, and you can't do it till May 1st. So it basically guarantees him another season. And, oh, by the way, it's $6 million all the way up until April 30th of the 22nd. So it drops to $3 million, still not nothing.
Right, right.
On May 1st, so it's almost kicks in three more years. So if the idea of a contract extension is because he's coming and playing the card that, listen, I got people that are interested in me, and you're Missouri, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Like, that's the decision I'd make right now, because I haven't seen enough out of Konzo Martin to be like, we got to do whatever it takes to keep this guy, including guarantee him, this many years.
Yeah.
He's already basically guaranteed three.
Yeah, that's why I hate these last 2 weeks for Missouri. I mean, they beat Alabama, they go into the top 10, and you're feeling great, even though they almost kicked away the Alabama game. What, a 21-point lead went down to five or three or whatever, but they still won the game, right? And Alabama at times has looked like a Final Four program this year, and they'd beaten Tennessee, and they didn't at that point. I'm trying to think of their they had one kind of a stinker. Blown out at home against Tennessee, but that was really the only stinker. But then the last they've lost four of the last five, four of the last five, because it was
they've lost four of the last five,
because three game losing streak, and then they beat South Carolina and then lost to Ole Miss. I really thought they were going to come out and play well against Ole Miss, that they would have learned from their loss down that to me, if you're a Missouri fan, that's the that's the disappointment is, you know, you get embarrassed by Ole Miss, a team that's not as good as you, that worse record, you're better in with common opponents, and you did not make the adjustments, enough of the adjustments. And when they did fight back in the second half and overcame, you know, had the, made up the 9-point halftime deficit to tie it up, 2.5 minutes to go, game's a jump ball, you've got the experienced team, you're playing at home, you've got senior guards, and they can't get a stop and they can't get a bucket. And that was just like, come on. That's not what an experienced team should be doing right now.
All right, we'll take a break. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. When we come back, we'll talk about South Carolina. Their probation has been handed down from the FBI investigation. What can we take away from that as to what it will mean for Kansas? We'll do that next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
You ever quote anything besides statistics, Vulcan?
Yes, but philosophy and poetry are not appropriate here.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Thanks for joining us here in the program. We'll talk some Royals baseball with Alec Lewis from The Athletic coming up in our next hour. We're talking to our man Bob. I almost called you Bob Glauber. How about that? That would have been a Freudian slip.
What a compliment, though.
Insult to you, Blair.
Not a compliment.
I heard Glauber try to slide that Sam Darnold worthiness past you yesterday. I'm glad you didn't let him get away with that.
Some team's going to trade for Sam Darnold. Like, they're not trading for Sam Darnold. No one's trading for Sam Darnold. They might sign him if you cut him. No one's giving you a bucket of pee for Sam Darnold. Blair Kirkhoff, the great Blair Kirkhoff, with us here in the program, brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC. Blair, South Carolina, their part of the FBI thing is now done. The NCAA has ruled on South Carolina's 2 years of probation. This is for former assistant coach Lamont Evans, who went to jail, correct?
Yes, I think he was one of the four. I want to say he was one of the four that did some time.
$9,100 he took in bribes. And then he went to jail, I think, for several months, I think is what they all were kind of getting, right? About
right.
3 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. They basically accepted South Carolina's self-imposed sanctions. They'll be under probation for 2 years, no NCAA tournament bans, so they can play in the tournament. I don't know that that even really matters at South Carolina, the way it's been going for Frank Martin down there. He has not been to the tournament since winning the Final Four and not going this year either. It'll be the third consecutive year they've missed it. A reduction in unofficial visits this year and next, a six-week ban on phone call recruiting, and a $5,000 fine.
I thought the fine was funny. A $5,000 fine. What is that?
Why bother?
I've never seen that, a $5,000 fine. But you know, for a school.
They also have to do 25 hours of community service, road cleanup.
There you go.
You know, like you know, what $5,000? You've got to be kidding me. What is this?
But I think they had two level ones. A level one, there are different degrees of level one violations, and they had two level one violations, and they didn't get a postseason ban. So I was a little bit surprised by that.
So do we take anything from this when it comes to Kansas?
Well, it's certainly if you're reading that story around here, that's what you think about. But the other difference is that was South Carolina's case was not heard by the independent counsel that is considering the Kansas case. And I think Louisville's as well, maybe Arizona's too, but South Carolina's was done by the NCAA, and I don't want to say, I guess I do want to say, I thought it was kind of lenient for a school that had been implicated with the FBI investigation. You just thought, boy, and a coach doing some jail time, you know, they'll get punished pretty hard. I don't think they got punished very hard for this.
Yeah, I think, you know, is it? I think what you wonder if you're Kansas, is this a sign that the NCAA is saying, we're kind of out over our skis on this. Let's just get a slap on the wrist here and move on down the road.
I wonder. And there's still no indication about when Kansas is going to be, when we're going to hear anything about Kansas. Bill Self's still saying late summer and now fall. Which, you know, the mystery continues for the independent schools.
Blair, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good, Sren.
All right, we'll take a break. Need to know next.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, what player holds the season record for home runs, yes, home runs, by a Cuban-born player? Brought to you by Good Sense.